Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Now, we're studying walking in the Spirit, studying some of the basic things of Christianity. And let me just say this. What God requires of us, salvation is an invitation. After that, you have to reckon yourself not your own, according to the Word of God. Bible says you're bought with a price, great price too. Amen. And if I'm going to belong to anybody, I want to belong to Jesus. I don't belong to the devil. Amen. But you know, in watching some of that stuff I was talking about the other day, all the commentators that were commentating on all the heresy of, you know, all of us, it's amazing the lack of revelation on the activity of God that they have. One of them was talking about how one of the ways we know that God doesn't heal, deliver, or do anything supernaturally is because there are no more apostles or prophets. There are no more. And one guy, I mean, he was, I could call his name and everybody know who he was. He got up and adamantly said, you know, these people that say that there are apostles today, there are prophets today, are wrong. There is no tangible anointing there. I mean, he just went through all the litany. There is no gifts of the Spirit. Those all passed away with the last apostle. They all passed away in the apostolic age. Now, the word apostle means sent forth. That's really all it means. There's no special connotation to it. But if you're a student of the Word of God, you will understand there are some unique things about the apostle. Number one, there are groups of apostles that were upon the earth that there will never be again. There are 12 called the apostles of the Lamb. They had unique ministries. They walked with Jesus. They were eyewitnesses to His glory, the Bible says. And they were a very unique group of men. Every one of them were martyred. Every one of them were martyred. And they were anointed, and they flowed in the Holy Ghost. But they weren't the only apostles mentioned in the Bible. Actually, if you study the book of Acts, do you know how many other men were mentioned as apostles? 22 were mentioned as apostles. So that proves right there that there wasn't just 12, and then when the last one died, it was all over. No, those ministry gifts have gone. There's nothing in the Word of God that God has stopped, amen, that He has not replaced with something better. And it'll always be that way. When this stops, it's going to get replaced with something so much better. It's going to be replaced with an army of men and women that are all in a family or in the family of God who will live on this earth 1,000 years in glorified bodies. How cool will that be? So you must understand that religion like has their head in a box, you know? I heard someone say this years ago, they preach messages that are 100 years old. They sing songs that are 100 years old. They glorify what God did yesterday while denying what He's doing today. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's been typical of religion throughout all times. But listen, we're in the midst of an awakening. People are hungry. They don't have any answers for things anymore. I mean, if you think some political party or some person is going to bring an answer to all this, it's not going to happen. There's only one that's going to bring the breakthrough, the deliverance, and the relief that the human family needs, and His name is Jesus. Amen? He brought it 2,000 years ago. He's fixing to bring it back again. Now, we're studying our interaction and our relation to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is amazing, and I don't understand why some of those big preachers don't understand this. But we've studied it here for years. John 14, Jesus says, He will abide with you forever. Amen. Now think about that for a moment. Use your intellect. Think about an entity, not of yourself, but of God. But of a benevolent, loving creator who reveals Himself to us who are His children as our Heavenly Father. That part of Him which is tangible and active called the Holy Spirit in His activity called the Holy Ghost. Amen? He abides in us and is upon us forever. Throughout eternity, God, we are connected to God by His Spirit. That's why we can be called His family. Israel is only called His people. But see, we owe a debt to them. People don't understand how God deals with nations and how God deals with people. We try to think, you know, that everything needs to be on a level playing ground. But God is God. He says, I have mercy on who I want to. That's a freaky thing to say, especially in a political, politically correct or incorrect climate. Because a lot of what God says is not politically correct. Amen. So we must understand this part of God that is His Holy Spirit, as we've been studying through the new birth, comes to abide, comes to inhabit, and then the empowering part when it comes upon us. Actually, for service is really what it is. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, let's look at this. We know in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, we see the Holy Spirit moving. As the Word of God is spoke, we see Jesus the first time there when the word let, notice it's capitalized, when God says let, that's Jesus. All things were created by Him and for Him. Amen? Now, here in Genesis, here's something very unique. Chapter 8, let's just read from verse 1. God remembered Noah. This is about the flood. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. Boy, I bet that was quite a place. Amen. 40 days and 40 nights. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged or abated. Everybody say abated. Begin to go down. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters return from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. Everybody say abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters deceased continually until the tenth month. And in the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. So water was going down all that time, and they just begin to see the tops of the mountain. Honey, that's a flood. Buddy, he overflowed. Amen. And so, notice what it says here. And it came to pass, verse 6, at the end of 40 days, that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Now notice, in all the scripture there are types and shadows. For the sake of tonight's teaching, we're going to look at this as a type of what God has done for us to get the Holy Ghost to us. First of all, Noah, we look at him as a type of God. The ark, we look as a type of Christ or a type of salvation. Amen. The waters upon the earth are the judgment of God. They're not a type. If you would have been there, you would have died. Amen. That was the judgment of God. So when the waters abated or began to recede from off the earth, what was happening? Judgment was abating. Judgment was receding. Judgment was going back down so that God could have access again. Now notice, as it began to happen, let me start back in verse 6. Came to pass the end of 40 days. Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth, now notice, the first thing he sends forth is what? A raven. Now that's a predator. That's a scavenger. The raven is a type of the adversary, a type of the devil. The first thing when all this stuff got going, what got it going was God kicked Satan out of heaven. Jesus did it so fast, the Bible says it looked like lightning hitting the earth. I've heard the warfare teachers get up there and preach out, for eons of unmeasured time, back and forth in the darkness of the universe, good and evil fought a mighty battle until finally evil. That's not true. That would make you think that evil was almost as strong as good. But evil is not almost as strong. There, the Bible says when measuring God and Satan, you cannot measure. There's no measure you can measure. Amen. So that's not what happened at all. No, when he caused insurrection, the Bible says when iniquity was found in him, I mean, he was judged and cast down. Now here's the type, the raven. Everybody say the raven. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the earth. Verse 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark. For the waters on the face of the whole, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Everybody say the whole earth. So here is the first time he sends the dove. Are you ready? This is a type of the old covenant. There was no place for the dove to what? To rest its feet. It could not land. So what was the old covenant? What was the ministry of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit in the old covenant? Well, he only came upon certain servants. The prophet, the priest, and the king were the ones that were anointed by the Holy Ghost to do the service of God. Nobody else on the earth, no one else on the earth would the Spirit of God come upon. Only in that little sliver of land, and only those few people with that Levitical priesthood, would the Holy Ghost come upon so that they could do the service of God. Everything about what was going on in Israel at that time was supernatural and tangible because that was unique to their covenant. Amen. I mean, even how they communicated with God. You know, they talk about them taking the ephod and all the different things. You know, those were, they had in sewn into the priestly robes, they had these two huge diamonds that they would stand at the altar. And the different things that had the different things of God, like menorah, all those things, they had the alphabet. You know, if they got the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet on that. And the glory of God would come through those diamonds and illuminate letters. And they would write what God was saying and go out and tell it to the people. So that's supernatural. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of God. Amen? And they enjoyed that type of fellowship with God, but that is on such a lower level than what we enjoy. They still had the iniquitous nature. That's why David could be a man after God's own heart and end up committing adultery and being a part of a murder of the person he committed, of the man's husband and whom he committed adultery with. But then the grace of God came upon the scene later on, and one born of that ended up Solomon, king of Israel. Shows you how merciful God is. But only upon the prophet, only upon the priest, and only upon the king could the Spirit of God come. Now notice this. It says, then he put forth his hand and took her in and took her and pulled her into him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days. Everybody say 7 days. And he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and lo, the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf. Everybody say olive leaf. But now notice this. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. So Noah knew, or God knew, judgment was abating from off of the earth. So the second time he sends the dove still finds no place for the sole of her foot, but comes back with an olive leaf, or true Hebrew, olive branch. Who is the olive branch of Israel? Does anybody know? That's Jesus. This is the dispensation or the time in which Jesus walked on the earth, especially the 3.5 years of miracle ministry in which he was anointed by the Holy Ghost. Do you know one of the doctrines that we're really called heretics over? I mean, I'll tell you what, every one of the denominational churches, this doctrine, I mean, it's a burr in their saddle. You know what it is? That Jesus relinquished himself of his deity. They can't buy that. But he did. You go read Philippians. You study Philippians chapter. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. That means literally he took everything that built his reputation. Who was he? He was the Word of God. He was the captain of the host of the Lord. He was everything that the old covenant revealed him to be. He was all of that and even more than that. He was what God, the part of God that he used to create everything is, was, and will ever be. Amen? But when he came to the earth, he came as Son of Man, born of a virgin, entered into a human body. That's one of the mysteries of God, how God could take on the human experience and remain God, and how we can take on the divine nature and still remain humanity. But he did. That's why he did no miracles till he was 30 years old, because he was not yet anointed by the Holy Ghost. But man, when the Holy Ghost came on him, he got the full measure and he went about displaying the nature of the Heavenly Father. He was forgiving. He was kind. He supplied needs. He healed bodies. He even raised the dead. He did all of that to prove this is how the Heavenly Father is. This is what he thinks about people. He values people. He loves people. He cares about people. I mean, Jesus showed us all of that and showed us that in 3.5 years, and God counts it as a dispensation. Let me tell you, You know how long a dispensation is to God? You know how long? As long as He wants it to be, or as short as He wants it to be. He's God. Amen. 4,000 years from the fall to Jesus. 2,000 years from Jesus till the end times. I mean, you can't say, well, this is the only standard of God's measure. He measures things the way He wants to. The Bible says of God, a day is 1,000 years, and a day is of 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is of a day. Well, that's how God measures things. Amen. But now notice this. It says, and the dove came back, verse 11 again, the dove came back into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth an olive leaf plucked off, so that Noah knew the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days. And sent forth the dove, oh, I love this, which returned not again unto him anymore. Woo! Oh, come on. Oh, that's good. See, that's what people, most people, if I could just feel that, well, I've always said this, you can know it till you feel it. I mean, it's amazing that God would reserve a group of people on the earth that experienced the fall, but that He would redeem. Ever whosoever that would call on the name of the one He used to redeem us, He said, I'll take my spirit and put it in it. I'll take out their stony heart and I'll give them a heart of flesh. I'm telling you, God has recreated the human being, and He has taken us and given us back what we lost in the garden. We might not receive the fullness of it today, but I'm telling you, in a short time, a very short time, you're going to be going, oh my goodness, this is what all this meant. Now go back where we were last week. Go back to 1 Corinthians. How's my time? I'm doing good. Now, I've got time to take a drink. And another drink. And another drink. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts. Anybody desire spiritual gifts? But rather that ye prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Now this is the Spirit that's upon us. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit. Now notice that phrase right there, in the Spirit. No, it's a small s, see that? Man, you should have shouted and ran. Well, maybe after I teach it to you, you will. In the Spirit, small s. In the Spirit, small s. In the Spirit. That Spirit is a realm, is a dimension. Amen? You speak what? Mysteries. Now listen, who's in that dimension? The devil. Every demon power that's been loosed in the universe is in that spirit dimension. But God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a language, a redemptive language, so you can speak or pray in the Holy Ghost, and you're not even going to have to worry about the enemy encroaching upon you or listening in on your conversations and knowing what you and your Heavenly Father are talking about. Come on. Amen. He can't eavesdrop on you like the government. So, I heard this deal about, what is it we got in our house? Siri? What is it? So we got one in our house, you know, and it's always saying, do stuff. No telling who's listening. But I started thinking the other day of all of, we pray in the Holy Ghost. We used to have people coming over and praying and doing all. I thought, man, they got an earful out of us, man. Just pray. Go pray. You want someplace to preach, just go preach to that. There's somebody on the other end listening that needs Jesus. Amen. Somebody just found their ministry. There you go. Praise God. There was a guy at Lakewood way back in the day when I went to Bible school there. And Brother Osteen taught on finding your ministry. And you know what his ministry was? He sat at the door of the old building with the phone book. You know how big that Houston phone book, even back then in the early 80s, that Houston phone. And he sent a track to every address in that phone book. And so what people would do is they would come in to Lakewood with stamped envelopes and put stacks of stamps in envelopes on his table, and he would take and address those envelopes, and he sent tracts to everybody in that phone book. Isn't that amazing? If one person got saved, and I guarantee more than one did, it was very much worth that. Amen. Now notice, here we go again. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, this is in, for he that speaketh, verse 2, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now let me ask you a question. Have you got it right your whole life in your conversation with people? Are you like the rest of us that have a lot of things in your life you wish you'd never said or wish you had said? Amen? Now, what's cool about that, it's not like that in the Spirit. It's not like that in the Spirit. Because you got a helper and an intercessor, come on church, and a strengthener that empowers you to talk to your Heavenly Father so you don't talk like a fool or an idiot. Amen? Literally. So you pray in the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. Have you ever noticed after you finish praying in the Holy Ghost for about an hour, you ain't got much to say? You ever notice that? Just ain't a whole lot to say after that. What do you think? Well, praise God. You know, I mean, that's about it. Mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. One translation says divine secrets. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to the edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, in this chapter, this is detailed, intense teaching on the gifts of the Spirit and their operation and the difference between the initial infilling of the Holy Ghost, which empowers every person that receives it to speak in tongues, and the gift of tongues is talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Its operation and its order and its place in that litany of the gifts of the Spirit so that we know this is how it operates and this is what it is. You say, well, why would God even want us to know that? Number one, why would he put that in the Bible if it was all going to pass away? Why would he give us such detailed instruction about faith and about confession and about standing on the Word and about all these things that we do and enjoy and see the benefit of? If he didn't want us to have it, why did he give us a book full of it? Full of examples and instruction on how to get it to work. I like what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, you know, if God requires faith of us and doesn't give us everything we need to know about faith, then give us the faith that we need to operate in, he'd be an unjust God. But he says he gives us the Word that imparts faith and gives us all the instruction that we need right there in the Word of God so we know how to operate in faith. Isn't God good? Now notice, here we go. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification. Everybody say edification. And exhortation and comfort. Amen. Now notice this. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men, doom and gloom, future events. Sounds like he's a fortune teller. Oh, really? That's what most people who claim they prophesy these days, that's what they do. That's not what the Bible says. Someone who is correctly prophesying is speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesies edifieth the church. Everybody say the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. Now he's speaking now. In this verse he's saying, it'd be like me saying, now I hope you're all filled with the Holy Ghost. I want you to all speak in tongues. But listen, in here, it'd be better to prophesy, because we'll see in a minute, he'll give us the illustration. Because if all we ever do is talk in tongues, people come in here that don't know who we are, they'll think we're crazy. Amen? That's why don't invite your neighbor to the prayer meeting that hadn't been saved yet. You say, why? They'll leave. They will leave. The Word tells us, they'll leave. They'll go, whoa, these people are crazy. Amen. But what's funny about it, we'll get to that in just a minute if we don't get to it next week. Tongues and interpretation of tongues in the church. If there's anyone not saved, it convinces them that they need to get saved. I've seen it happen 100 times. At the end of a meeting, giving an altar call, thinking, man, there's somebody out there. God is going after their heart and they're not responding. And then all of a sudden somebody say, I got a message in tongues or something like that. And that go forth. The next thing you know, you got 15 people getting saved. I've seen it happen. But now notice, let's stick with it. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Now he switches over to the gift here, that the church may receive what? Edifying. Everybody say edifying. Now listen, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues all do the same thing. They are given for the edification, exhortation, and comfort of the church. Myself, I've ministered in the Spirit for 40 years. I can tell sometimes when there's a tongue, when there needs to be a tongue to help the gift of interpretation of tongues give a stronger, A stronger, what is that word, Lord? Yeah, a stronger unction. That the unction of it will go forth in a stronger way. But there are other times when the Lord just says, prophesy. Just speak it out. Just prophesy. And I've noticed when you prophesy, sometimes He'll only give you a word or two. And you just step into it and it takes off. And sometimes I felt like I literally stepped out of my body and was watching myself. Many times it comes forth as preaching. We were sitting right there, Lee and I, Fall Harvest 3 or 4 years ago. Pastor Mark Bazee had been up preaching about 20 minutes and he was over here. And he started, his voice never changed, nothing, but he just started speaking. And I said, he's prophesying. Listen to him right there. He's prophesying. That's a prophecy. Listen to it. It's a prophecy. I've seen it happen many times. That's right there. It's right in the Word of God. Isn't this amazing? I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying or building up. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation, everybody say revelation, or by knowledge, and say by knowledge, or by prophesying, everybody say prophesying, or by doctrine. Now, that's what we stick with right there. That's what we stick with. Listen, this is where you've got to be so careful. So much psychology has gotten into the church. Remember, psychology is a soulish art. It deals with the soul of man. And they've tried to make psychology fit into the spirit where it also fits into spiritual, what would you say, spiritual places, but there's no fit there. It's like trying to put a round peg in a square hole. It's just not going to work. So you've got to be so careful. And I say, I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about a lot of Holy Ghost guys, a lot of Word of Faith, a lot of denominational Pentecostal guys. They teach psychology in our seminaries now. But here's the thing. There is a separation between the soul and the spirit. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 is telling. Word of God is what? Quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged. Divides asunder that which is the spirit, the soul, the body, or the flesh, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. So now notice, stick with it. Anybody getting this? Isn't this good stuff? It says, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I will speak to you by revelation? Everybody say revelation. Now, there's a lot of things I speak by revelation. By knowledge, there's a lot I know by knowledge. 40 years will give you a little knowledge. Amen. It says, or by prophesying. I've had that happen. Or by doctrine. Now, there's a lot of times where I just try to stick with doctrine. What does the Word say about faith? What does the Word of God say? This is our doctrine. This is what we believe. Amen? Now, notice. And even things without life giving sound, whether they're pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? You can tell the difference between a guitar and a keyboard and a drum. They all have a different sound. Now, see, this is teaching us spiritual things. Everybody say different sounds. And every sound produces a different result. Amen. Now, notice this. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle or to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. So obviously in Corinth, in the Corinthian church, people were going around talking in tongues to each other. That's what they were doing. And Paul is correcting that, saying, don't do that. You're not edifying yourself. You're causing confusion. You're doing all that. It's not And I guarantee you what was happening, because this, I know the nature of people. People started talking to each other in tongues and then telling them, I know what you're saying, I know what you're saying, I know. You know how people are. Especially you get a little spiritual pride in the midst of all of that. And it turned into a big old nasty mess, and Paul had to correct it. So that's why we have 1 Corinthians 14. It says there are, verse 10, it says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Now, there is something you need to hear. Let me read that again. I kind of inflected the wrong word. There are, everybody say there are. If maybe so many kinds of voices in the world. Now relate that back up to the scripture we just read. The two scriptures we just read. There are many, many, many instruments. Most of us can tell what you got to hear it. A clarinet, a trumpet, a keyboard, a guitar, bass guitar, electric guitar, a rhythm guitar. There's all kinds of sounds they make. There are, if it may be, so many kinds of voices. Those voices are what's running through your head on a 24-hour basis. Yeah. Communication from another realm. I'm telling you, church, communication from another realm. Imparting thoughts, imparting concepts, imparting ideas. And if you entertain it or if you give any kind of attention to it, it will go to another level. That's why Jesus continually taught, take no thought. Take no thought. He knew out in this spirit realm are multitudes of voices making noise. It's so bad today that many people have to be on drugs just to go to sleep at night, just to function, because there's so many voices. Amen. So how are you going to tell what's real? How are you going to tell what's of God or not? See, that's why it pays to serve God. So look, there are, if it may be, so many kinds. Fear has a voice. Lust has a voice. Amen. Depression has a voice. I mean, we could go through 1,000 different definitions, 1,000 different words, and all of those words have a voice to it. Know how to speak to you. Know how to say things to you. Amen. And the word says none of them are insignificant. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, how shall I be unto him that speaketh a barbarian? Or I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. He's saying it's going to be just like all those thoughts out there. Amen? Now notice, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. All of the words inspired by the Spirit edify the church. They don't edify this pole, that seat, or this rug. It edifies you. You're the church. Amen. So if we're not speaking edifying words to one another, we're not in the will of God. And you got to be connected to the Spirit. You say, well, He's the one giving the inspiration for the edification to do what you need to do to edify your brother, your sister, your children, your wife, your husband, whoever needs edification, which is everyone that God puts in your life. We edify, or we build up each other by the Spirit. Amen? Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, if you say, Pastor Rusty, when you ask people to raise their hand that may have a message in tongues, my heart starts pounding, but I'm not going to raise up my hand. Well, then you need to start praying that you can interpret. Because if God's really dealing with you about operating in the gifts of tongues and it's intimidating you, begin to pray that you may interpret. And you may not ever interpret, but what that will do will give you an assurance that there's another piece to what you're doing. The biggest fear people have many times in public settings is standing up in front of people and doing something like that and somebody saying, that wasn't God. You say, why? I've done it. Some of you don't doubt it. I remember one time I was in a meeting, and most of the pastors I preach for know how to keep order in their church. And the Spirit of God was moving in my message. And people were being touched by God. And a woman jumped up and just began to speak in tongues. Everybody thought it was a message in tongues, but it wasn't. She was so inspired, she just began to speak in tongues. And when she spoke in tongues, I heard it in English. I heard everything she said in English. And the Spirit of God said, stop and tell them what just happened. Because I just kept on preaching. They acted like, well, he needs to say something. So I stopped and said, let me tell you what just happened. I said, that was not a message in tongues. That was that woman standing up and edifying herself. I said, here's what she said. And it was something along these lines. I love you, Lord. I'm so thankful you've rescued my life. I love you with all my heart, with all my... I mean, it was just this adoration to God is all it was. I could hear it in English. And when I said that, it was like taking and turning up the fire under that meeting. It just went to another level. Because people automatically saw and understood by demonstration what had happened. Amen. Now notice. Even so, let's go back to verse 12. Oh man, I'm over time. Even so, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, Amplified says, by the Holy Spirit, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding, my intellect is unfruitful. What then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Notice none of those S's are capitalized. Amen? So he is saying, I am going to sing, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do all of this. How? In the spirit, he's talking about the human spirit. This is coming up out. My worship comes from where? Does it come from my head? Does it come from my flesh? No, God said, I seek those that worship in spirit and in truth. So he's speaking of our human spirit. And listen, we get enough people, human spirit operating in the Holy Spirit, then we are adding measure to measure. Glory to God. I'm going to close it right here. What will I say then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? At thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thy saith. Now, mark it there. We'll pick that up next week. He is setting the standard here of breaking in the Corinthian church the habit of excessive tongue talking. Amen? You say, well, how can that happen? Well, anything can get in the ditch. The Corinthian, you know, would start off, you want me to do that, Lord? All right. Let's start off this chapter. Listen. No, chapter 12. Listen to chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles. Everybody say Gentiles. Uncoveted Gentiles. Carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were, notice the term, led. Well, who's leading them? Well, their own iniquity. Connected to the devil is leading. And now notice this is, I'm going to close with this. This will help you. Know ye not, you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols even as you were led. So, Corinthians worship that same demon god, Diana. Great is Diana of Ephesus, a fertility god. Their temples were houses of prostitution, where men spent most of their time, iniquitous, carried away, drunken orgies 24/7. Led, carried away. So Paul gets up and says, just like you got carried away in that sin, you got carried away with this. You got carried away. And I'm fixing to correct what you got carried away with. And notice how he does it. By the Holy Ghost, by the compassion of God. Because right in between the two chapters of correction, what does God put? Love. He puts love right in the middle of it. Aren't you glad you serve a God who is willing to correct you? I never heard a Buddha correcting anybody. or Mohammed or Joseph Smith. Just thought we'd cover all the bases, amen? But I have been corrected by God. And I've been corrected by the Word. And I've been corrected by the Spirit. Listen. And when God turns that fire on the burner back up, I want to be in the place where it's turned up on me. Amen? Because the move of God, the anointing of God, is dependent upon all of us finding that place in Christ in which we're pliable. We don't get hard. We stay pliable. Amen? We guard our hearts. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are what? The issues of life. And we seek God with all of our heart to stay on that narrow path so that when it all unfolds and happens. Because, you know, in prayer, church, let me say this. And I'm only saying this because I feel the liberty to say it, and I've really prayed this out. But let me help you. Our nation is sick, man. And if either one of the two men running are elected, we're doomed. If either one of those two men are elected, we are doomed. Got quiet in this Baptist church. That's why we need to pray. We need a leader. We don't need a businessman. We don't need a politician. And if God would grant the church, Jesus, just a sliver of time to move upon this earth. Because we can't do it if they're burning the cities. We can't do it if they're rioting in the streets. Sure, we can go out and evangelize, but God is not going to let himself be usurped by what the devil does in the last days. Let me just say this. When this happens, people are going to know it's God. And when the rapture happens, there ain't going to be no doubt. And let me tell you, during the 7-year tribulation, people are going to know this is God. Churches will be full of people. They'll be afraid. The things going on in the earth, the Bible says men's heart will fail them. Death will be prevalent even more than it is now. That's going to be a horrible thing. But listen, we're all Americans. And this ain't our nation right now. I grew up in this nation. I know what it's like. I know the hurt, the pain of all the decades I've lived in, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000. But I tell you, church, what's going on now, the church must pray. There is a responsibility for the church to pray over what God is going to do, and I believe God will do it. And we will see something unique happen in our time. Because this nation is a nation headed for great turmoil. And we don't need to be divided from our brothers and sisters over some political idealism that at the end of the day don't amount to a hill of beans. Amen? So that's my 2 cents on that. That doesn't mean I don't vote. That don't mean I do. But I'm telling you, the Lord showed me in the Spirit, we need to pray. This nation needs a leader. And here's the thing. There's some leaders out there. And they're close. We just need to pray. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in a man on this planet. Our hope is in Christ. And Father, we pray according to that which Jesus, our Lord and Savior, instructed us to do. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We stand in faith tonight, Lord, as a church, and we pray over the United States of America. Whatever we were, whatever we were designed to be, the one thing we can say is from these shores the gospel has gone forth. There is a seed sown in the nations of the world. From this nation, this night, from this nation, this night, the gospel is being preached around the world. Father, recognize that. We pray for our president. We pray over the election. We pray that you would raise up a righteous leader. We pray, Lord, that we would have liberty in the last days. Freedom to preach, freedom to pray, freedom to gather, freedom to go, and freedom to receive. Lord, as we leave tonight, we stand upon your word for protection and safety. We know the perilous times of the last days have dawned upon us. And there's much danger in our streets, in our cities, and in this nation. But our faith is in your holy word, and the angels of God which you've dispatched on our behalf. We declare in our travels on the highways, airways, seaways, or railways, we're kept and protected. We thank you, Lord God, that in the righteous labor of our hands, and in the studies of our students, and the teaching of our teachers, there is safety, protection, and blessing. We bind the adversary, trying to motivate anybody to attack a school, a church, a movie theater, a mall, or any place where people gather. We bind the devil and the spirit of terrorism that would try to carjack, rob banks, or bring terror to our streets. And we bind in the name of Jesus voices in the spirit realm motivating men and women to submit to their iniquity and break the laws of God. We cry out unto you, Lord, and declare unto you that which you told us 2,000 years ago through your Son, that we are living in the acceptable year of the Lord. We're not living in anarchy. We're not living in that which the world is propagating and we're seeing so much of. We still remain and we still abide under your mercy, under your grace, and under your hand of compassion. So we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love toward you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Island Church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.
Hallelujah, Jesus.